Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some friends are terrified when they discover a supernatural power has taken control of them. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is! 855-853-4802. Our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. You can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air. We would love that. That's what we've been doing for going on 8 years now, which is hard to believe. An EPP, extra podcast person, is what we call it. And you sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And that $5 a month will get you access to all of our bonus material, more than 300 bonus episodes for you to binge away on, exclusive video content, advanced episodes of the show. You also get those, and they're commercial free. So you get all of our regular content in advance with no ads. And all the bonus content and our ebook and our audiobook and whatever other random extra stuff I feel to give away throughout the year, which happens every year to our EPPs. You'll get that too. Sign up anyway, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
Well, fine. Thank you, Tony. I know that this episode airs sometime in the future.
January 20th.
Well, about. I'd like to acknowledge that tomorrow, which is actually December 15th, my dog turns 15.
Hey, happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah, buddy's going to be 15 tomorrow. So I made a cute little video and everything to celebrate his birthday. And then I was like, I've got to find him some happy birthday treats. And I stopped a couple places and I didn't find any yet. I'm like, where do I get him? And then I'm like, I'm the only one who knows they say happy birthday. I don't have to have them. I'm like, why am I busting my ass trying to find happy birthday treats? Because he doesn't know.
He probably
and it's really
knows.
For the cute, adorable social media pictures. I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah, you're going to get a hat or any like construction paper? You can make a little hat. It'll either look like a dunce cap or a birthday hat. One of the two, depending
on
the way you make it.
I think a hat.
Yeah. You have a hot dog or anything? Or I know. No, you wouldn't. Oh, no.
My dog is 15 tomorrow. He has so many treats. Do you not like this kind? I have this one.
Here's
this
one.
Or this one. Or maybe little, you want this bone. Or
a little ready whip on it. And there you go. It's amazing.
At 15, they get whatever they want. It's like, you got it.
You should
you
post.
You want to eat the cat food? Eat the cat food.
If someone wants to see your dog video, where can they see the happy birthday?
It'll be on my Instagram page.
Okay.
At Carol Hughes. And it'll be on my Facebook page.
Okay. So just look up at Carol Hughes and you will find that video.
And on my Facebook, I'm the one who's friends with Tony Bruschi.
There you go. That's how you can narrow down with Carol Hughes. Yeah. I have recently started accepting Facebook friends again because for a long time I was just like leaving it as like family only. And then I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I get so many requests. I'm letting anybody who wants to be my friend be my friend because we need more friends these days. So
and you post really great pictures.
I put them everywhere, though, too. Like on Instagram, anyone can follow there and whatnot. But it's fun. I mean, we're not going anywhere. So I take a lot of pictures around the farm. We got snow the other day. It was great. I haven't seen snow in years. And I enjoyed the 24 hours we had of it. And then it was gone.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah, it's what happens in Arkansas. But yeah. Harp got up this morning at the crack of dawn and she was out there sledding in the pasture. And just having the time of her life. She was so wanting snow for the last how many years, and she got it. And I'm just thinking, she's just making memories. And I was so happy watching her because it reminded me of when I was a little kid and being out in the farm hills and sledding. And it was kind of icy, so you get that nice slickness to it. And she was having the time of her life. So It was good. You see those pictures on my accounts at Tony Bruschi on Facebook or Instagram. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump to our first one of the day. It says, hello, I've got a few stories, but I will start with one. A place I worked in 2011. I'd started a new job doing graphic design for a company on the west side of Fort Worth, Texas. This business was in a residential neighborhood with a house on one side of the property and next to it a warehouse. When you enter the warehouse, you walk into the shipping and receiving area. Shelves line the walls filled with products and packing materials. Then you walk through another door into a stockroom. Again, it was a wall-to-wall shelving full of various products. From there, you'd access the print shop in the back. Immediately after starting, I'd gotten the feeling of being watched and felt like I was not alone in the print shop. There was a large room full of printers and equipment for the different work we would do. I had a desk with a computer right by the door. I had to keep that door shut because in my peripheral vision, I would see someone in there and none of my coworkers would be there when I would look. I'd have constant issues with printers working, and then they would go offline and I would have to re-enter the IP address to get it to work. This would happen constantly. I chalked it up to the owner buying used equipment, and they just had quirks. But I've never had issues like that anywhere else since. Another time, I had a coworker on one end of the print shop working on a printer, and I was on the opposite side working on my computer when a bench grinder that was in the middle of the shop turned on. This was the older type that had the twist-on power instead of the toggle. When you twist it to the right, it clicks, and when you roll the knob to the right, it increases speed. When it came on, it went on full speed. My coworker and I jumped, and we both looked and saw there was no one near it. Went and inspected the grinder, and there was no electrical cord issues or anything that would appear to make that happen. We turned it off and went back to work. A bit shook up, I might add. After this, I made sure to let who or whatever know when I arrived that I was just there to work and not to mind me. At one point, I had to bring my 10-year-old daughter to work with me. It was the summer, and I had no one to watch her that day. She stayed inside the house on the property and would watch TV and eat snacks. It had everything she would need while I got some work done. I'd walk back and forth to check on her. The last time I walked in, she was standing up in the middle of the living area looking around. She looked scared and confused. I asked her what was going on, and she said she had heard someone in the kitchen walking around and looking to find the cabinet doors open. She just shrugged it off because it was not uncommon for employees to go in and use the kitchen and facilities during the workday. Until she heard someone walk behind her and felt like someone was standing there. And then they walked to the front door and left it open. She got up to inspect, and that is when I walked through the door. She asked who was just in here, and I replied, no one. Everyone is in the warehouse and has been. I just left everyone, and I must go through each room of the warehouse to exit. She was scared shitless. I never brought her back again to work with me. After sharing our experiences with my coworkers, they told me theirs. Well, packaging orders, inventory would fly off the shelves. There were a lot of glass products that fly off, crash, and break all over the concrete floors. They, too, had the feeling of not being alone and watched while they worked. After a while, we were told by our boss that the previous owner had committed suicide on the property. I never did any research or asked any further about it. I hate to think the man is still here, but after what we all had witnessed, I believe he very well might be. Thoughts on that one?
That's a really bothersome thought.
Mm-hmm.
That you would be so unhappy in this world that you would kill yourself, but then you're stuck haunting that place. Like, isn't the idea, I think, in your head would be, I'm trying to escape this.
Yeah.
But then you're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's not right.
It's
someone
like,
is that tortured in this world, at least they should be at peace once they leave it.
You would hope so, but it's almost like here's your own personal hell. You're right back where you were. And that's
just sad.
Yeah. It's almost in some ways like, Groundhog's Day, but you're dead.
And then if you're dead, do you have to wait for somebody to come around and go, hey, we're going to get out the stage. We're going to bring some people in and tell you to leave, which I always think is kind of weird. Is it really that easy? Go away.
And
then you're like, aha, I'm going to go away.
Yeah.
Or can you do that on your own at some point? You know what I mean?
That's like, one of those things I always wonder about. And I ask investigators and, you know, mediums or sensitives or empaths or whatever. I ask that question often because it I don't know if it troubles me, but I don't have an answer to it. So it makes me wonder. Because everybody seems to have a kind of different opinion on that of, you know, well, yes, some believe we need another, you know, human intervention in some cases for the spirit to pass. Others, no, why would they? They're already there. They have all this power to begin with. I mean, and it's all, you know, just conjecture of what your belief system is on it. But I don't know, to me, it's like, if you're over there, the only way I can kind of understand it is almost like being in a bad dream. Where you know you're dreaming, but you can't get out of it, and you're just stuck dreaming it. Is that what that feels like? Where you're kind of oblivious to past and future tense. You're just there in the present, and that's where you're stuck. Is that what that feels like when you're in that position? That would, to me, that would be hell.
Yeah, especially if you were, you know, like killed in a horrific way,
yeah,
by suicide or murder or car accident, any of the, God, as I'm talking, my cat literally started scratching the wall behind me, scared the crap out of me. Anyways, and she's still doing it. But that would be so horrible that you would have to live, like you could have led this beautiful, wonderful life. Mm-hmm. And then you're stuck with that.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody murdered you and now you're stuck.
That's why, I mean, that's the only way
not
I can
right.
make, that's all the only way I can make sense of the whole idea of like a human being going, you're dead, go to the light. And then you're like, oh shit, what's going, I am? Like that, but then I question that because you seem to have so many spirits that are very much aware of their surroundings and that they're dead, and they don't need a human to tell them that they're dead or go to the light. They're content with doing what they're doing. So maybe it's a case by case basis, you know, just as everything in human life is, dealing with one person one way is not going to reap the same effects of dealing with another person the same way. And it's maybe more simplistic, one of those things, than we make it out to be. I think there's a lot in the ghost world that is a lot more simplistic than we realize. And we as humans make it more complex than it actually needs to be.
Well, and it's like the whole, it's even bigger than just, you know, being a ghost. It's like, what the hell are we doing here right now anyway?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I want somebody to say, here's the guidebook. And I, with all respect to the Bible, I don't really see it has all the answers. Like, what am I doing here?
That's a great idea. Why? For a book. I should do that book. That should be my next book. It should be a guidebook to being dead. And it's all just like, my ideas on how to handle being dead based on what we've heard. It's in no way factual. Yeah. It's in no way a true guide, but it's just based on what I've heard. Here's how you might want it to handle it. Here's how I'm planning on handling it. It's up to you if you want to do it the same way.
Oh my God, would you please write that? That would be a great
maybe
book.
I will.
I'll write the foreword.
I like that. That's a great idea. A guidebook to being dead. I don't think that anyone's done that, but there you go.
And we're not talking zombies.
No. It's just like how to haunt, how to, you know, and it can be very humorous, you know, how to fuck with your grandchildren that you don't have yet, in parentheses. Just plans, if you will. Like, what kind of sadistic fuck wrote this book? There you go. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Next letter, it says, hello, thank you for the opportunity to share my story. Out of my family of five, my father and I are the only ones who seem to be aware of supernatural occurrences. For a good portion of his childhood, he lived in a house in northern Nevada, and they learned it was built on not only Native American land, but possibly a burial ground of some sort. He has so many stories from his time there. I'll try to share some of them another time. when I was growing up, I only had one or two experiences. But when I got into high school, it all really kicked into gear. I was working in a Jack in the Box. Some creepy things happened there, but not much more than uncomfortable feelings of being watched and someone touching my hair, and usually worked late at night. There was one frequent customer, an old man who was friendly, would often gift me a dollar tip or just say hi. One night he came through the drive-thru and said he wanted to give me a gift. He said his friend worked on a reservation making little dolls. He pulled from his pocket a tiny little wooden doll, no more than an inch and a half tall. It was ridiculously cute and I loved it immediately. I thanked him and I do not really remember seeing him again after that. I brought it home and left it in the pocket of my apron for a long time, and it eventually ended up on the dresser in my room. I now know that I should not have brought it into my parents' house. From then on, freaky things would happen. There was often a knock at our front door that everyone would hear except the dogs, and we often made the mistake of opening the front door to check. My room was on the opposite side of the house from everyone else because my parents had added it on, and the bedroom door LED straight into the kitchen. For a couple of months, most nights I would hear movement in the kitchen and would peek out and see no one there. But some nights it would be loud, opening and closing of cabinets, drawers, dishes rattling, and footsteps. A few times I called the home phone to wake up my parents because I was almost sure someone had broken in. They'd walk into the kitchen and nothing would seem out of place. This would happen when friends would stay over for the night. It would terrify us and we'd carefully leave the room with weapons, just in case. On one occasion, I was up extremely late in the living room watching TV. It was probably 4 a.m. I turned the TV off and was ready to go to sleep, but was still scrolling through my phone. I heard footsteps walk up behind me and assumed it was my mom calling me to tell me to go to sleep. And without looking, I said, I know, I'm going to bed. That is how sure I was someone was standing behind me. Stood up, turned around, and there was no one there. But I distinctly felt that I had locked eyes with a being. I stood frozen, sensing that we were staring straight at each other. I stood there for several minutes, utterly terrified, and then eventually worked up the nerve to walk backward all the way to my room. So many things happened in the years after I got this doll, including heavy figures climbing onto my bed, disembodied voices talking to the dogs, doors being locked, items falling off hooks. Even on one occasion, my mom heard children running up and down the hallway. Eventually, I took the doll out into the hills and buried it with a cross over it and prayed. The hauntings continued until eventually my parents understood what was happening and prayed through the entire house, even every closet, asking whatever was there to leave. Since that day, maybe 3 years ago, nothing has happened at all. The house feels empty and safe. Even the knock at the front door has stopped. Thank you for reading my story. It was terrifying, but this time in my life ignited a curiosity of the supernatural that I don't think I will ever lose. Lesson there, don't take dolls from people that come to your drive-thru.
Especially adorable ones.
Adorable ones, even more dangerous.
So why? Why? Like, why would somebody do that? Is it like, I have the adorable, cute, possessed doll that in order for me to not live in this terrifying life anymore, I have to give it to an innocent stranger?
Well, what's screwed up about it is it's almost premeditated because he builds up this relationship with her, tips her, and is just friendly and a seemingly, you know, non-threatening male figure, old man, just kind of like, hey, you know, thank you for the coffee. Here's a little extra something, you know, and so a trust is built. A trust that is not in any way expecting anything other than I'm just being a friendly, nice, genuine human being. And then all of a sudden, here's this cute doll. Okay, well, this is, you know, it's something from my heritage. It's something from where I come from. And you take it as that, like, wow, this is really neat. They're sharing something with me that's a part of them. That's kind of a cool thing. And then all this shit goes down. It's like, and you never see the person again. I guess it really kind of makes you lose all faith in human beings. But at the same point, it's like, why the fuck would you do that?
Right. Like, if it was possessing you, why didn't you go bury it?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
I mean, the only thing I could say is, did he not know that this thing had that sort of power?
And what the hell? Like, it wasn't just one thing. It was everything. It was children.
Yeah.
It was, they talked, at one point, he said they talked to the dogs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. Like, if you have a possessed, adorable doll, don't go give it to somebody.
The more you know.
Thank you.
If you have a possessed, adorable doll, don't.
If we reached one person, that was good enough for me.
If I need to take any line out of this show to make a promo, that's it. If you have a possessed, adorable doll, don't give it to someone.
Don't give it to anybody.
You said it with such sincerity. It was just.
Well, it's true.
The more you know. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear it.
My name's Kelsey. I live in Texas. I love your show. I especially have enjoyed Harper. You're so awesome. You do a really good job, and you're very funny. I was just listening to y'all. I kind of binge listen most of the time while I work. I'm listening to Out of Luck, which was a classic episode where a gentleman had written in kind of thinking that your show was haunted or somehow brings on paranormal experiences, which kind of prompted me to call in. I've been meaning to call in anyway and tell y'all about a couple of really small experiences that have happened to me. I really haven't experienced too much in my life, but I definitely believe in all this stuff. And interestingly enough, I've had a couple of experiences over the last year that I just couldn't explain. I don't know if they're paranormal or not, but I know that both of them happened on nights that I listen to your show after dark. And I'm a little bit of a chicken, so I usually turn it off about the time it's getting dark and just switch to something a little more, you know, not ghostly. So these particular nights, the first one, I was driving to visit my ex-boyfriend in San Saba, Texas. So it's in the country, and it's kind of a country drive. It's pretty quiet. It's pretty dark. It's about an hour and a half from where I live. And I really was, like, into this episode. So I was like, I'm going to be brave today. Just keep on listening. So, you know, I'm driving in the dark. Nothing happened then. I was a little bit nervous, but I was enjoying it. So I get there. We hang out, go to sleep. All is normal until I get woken up, as does he, by the light bulb in his bedroom exploding. It exploded. It was loud. It shattered everywhere. It was like 2 a.m. He did have a fan, and the fan was on, but this was like a room built onto his grandparents' house. It was pretty new, nice. The fan I checked was like affixed all the way to the ceiling. It wasn't rattling or wobbling back and forth, anything like that. I was terrified. I didn't know what to think, but I had a very, very, very unsettled feeling. I think I nearly pushed him off the bed, just like scooching over, because I couldn't breathe. I had to calm down. It took me maybe an hour to go back to sleep. And then the next day in the light, we looked, and like the light bulb didn't fall out. The metal part of it was still screwed in. It's just like got smashed or exploded or something. Anyway, couldn't make sense of it. It was very, very strange. He won't even talk about it. He doesn't like that stuff. I don't know if he doesn't believe it, but he didn't, you know. Anyway, he didn't want to discuss what might have caused that. So whatever, nothing else happened, and that was a normal weekend. I think it was maybe a month later I was listening to your show again after dark, because I was house-sitting for this lady who has like, 3 cats, and she was out of town, so I'm house-sitting, and her house is in downtown Austin. It's kind of an older, more possibly historical, and I don't know, but it gave me the creeps a little bit. I was listening to your show either way, went to head home, and once again, I was just really involved in an episode where usually I would turn it off. I have to finish this, so I just kept on listening. And so the drive home was normal. That was like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. I listened to it the rest of the way home, and I lived with my siblings at the time in a big house, and I had a normal evening, hung out with my little brother, went to bed, and then this night, out of nowhere, at maybe 1:30 or so, the fire alarm in my room starts going off. It was the only one in the house that started going off. And it woke me up out of a sleep, and I felt kind of unsettled about it, like, that's weird. My brother was still awake, actually, which comforted me a lot. So he hears it going off and runs upstairs. Like, I heard him coming up the stairs. He had two dogs. I have one dog. So they were barking. My dog was barking from inside my room with me. She was startled, too. So all this is just takes a couple of seconds. I get out of bed, I'm just looking at the fire alarm. I'm like, why is this going off? And I heard my brother come upstairs. So I opened the door. The second I touched the door handle and turned, it stopped. It went off. And it didn't go off again that night, and I have no idea what set it off. No other fire alarms in the house have done that, and it never happened again. So anyway, I don't know what that means. I think it's pretty interesting. I kind of like the theory that gentleman on the show was saying, that maybe just your fear kind of brings it on, because I do get scared. Like, I'll still enjoy things and I'll listen anyway, but it does scare me sometimes. And both of those nights, especially because I was in the car by myself, I think I was a little bit nervous. So I don't know if that kind of brings it on. But anyway, just wanted to share that with y'all. I really, really love your show so much. It brings me so much joy. I notice everybody's always thanking y'all for just having an outlet to this stuff. And I just totally agree. I love it. And anyway, I was an EVP, and I will be again. I kind of changed cards and forgot to update that, but I'll do that again. I just love listening to all the good stuff, and hope y'all have a great day. I'll call back with some of my other teeny tiny weird occurrences later. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. It's an interesting concept, and something that has been brought up quite a bit in the last 365 days. This idea of us being able to almost haunt ourselves with our own energy. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think that someone could do that with their own fear, almost, that you're afraid of?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I think that it's the reason why I don't watch scary movies. Now, I do this before I go to bed, but I don't watch scary movies or anything now that I live by myself. Because I'll go to bed and dream about it. Or I'm so tense before I go to bed because I don't want to have a bad dream. I don't want to have a bad dream that then I have a bad dream.
But what about it actually influencing your environment? It's one thing for it to psychologically screw with you, but it's another where it's like,
if it psychologically F's with you,
yeah,
then you're more open to, you know what I mean? When you're afraid.
Yeah.
But I did Google the light bulb thing.
Yeah.
So just because I'm like, that's interesting. So most commonly, light bulbs explode when manufacturers do not put enough insulation on the base of the bulb, which causes the base to melt and allows the gas stored in the light bulb to leak out, causing the explosion.
Okay.
So that could just be a faulty light bulb.
It could be.
It also could be Tony Bruschi.
Yeah. I just wonder about that. If our energy in some cases not only obviously can affect us, I mean, you can make yourself physically ill with anxiety and worry and depression and things. You can bring on, I mean, disease physically into your body and things like that. But can we also, in some cases, physically affect the environment around us, including power and things of that nature, not with any sort of intent going, I'm going to make that light bulb turn on or off or explode, but can we do that? Is that something that we're capable of doing? I know you can measure energy that people give off in some cases. I wonder if that is, we're doing it and we don't know that we have that power.
I mean, if it is a power, I don't want it.
No.
That is a power I don't want.
Yeah.
Like, there's other powers I'd like, but not that.
Not that one. I can say I'm happy that this episode, I mean, I don't, I put three episodes, actually four episodes together a week. I have one that's Harps because it's kid friendly. And then I have the other three and it's just kind of like luck of the draw. Who's going to get the other three, depending if I'm recording with you first or with Jen first. I'm happy to say that you got this episode today because
I think Jen would like this one
because we've had in our bedroom the light and it's switched on with a remote. It's not switched on, just you have to have the switch on for it to work, period. But the light only goes on through a remote. So it's like an RF signal that's hitting the light. And if that switch is on and we have everything off, it will go on by itself at random. Like the light will go on, the fan will start, or one or the other. And it's really been kind of creeping her out lately. She's like, I hate that light. I hate it. But if the switch is off, it can't do it. So that's good. But there's something, there's some RF signal that is triggering it. I don't know what it is, but I'm fairly sure it's not ghostly because I've had this with other things too that get triggered on a remote. And once I figure it out, it'll be interesting. But I've had it with like Harper's toys too, where I flip a light switch on and it triggers a toy. Something like that.
And I mean, it's a weird world when you can watch Schitt's Creek and Alexa starts talking to your TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Moira is like, Alexa. And then Alexa is like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. And I'm like, this is one night they were having, Schitt's Creek was having a conversation with Alexa.
Yeah.
Alexa. Now I get them confused. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like such a weird, weird world.
And 30 people right now said, stop saying that.
That it's just... it's just weird. And I do think like with electronics, there's a lot of things that can happen.
There is. And especially with kind of the older school remote stuff and the RF signals, it could really be almost anything that triggers
that. It did scare the shit out of me that night when she started talking to Moira.
Sure.
On Schitt's Creek. Because it's like, I'm watching the TV and all of a sudden this voice comes. I totally forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
That's an interesting thing with media because you have, everybody's got these things around. And the thing, I have two of those devices sitting right next to me right now, but I'm just going to do this just for the fun of it. Just so everyone can have a fun end to the show. I'll do a Michael McDonald. Alexa, play Michael McDonald. And there we go. Right now, there. It's going to start over here, but I've also just activated now probably about 10,000 Alexas all over the world.
Exactly.
And there'll now be suddenly a spike in Michael McDonald whatever day somebody listens to this. Like, why was this big spike in Michael McDonald music? And Alexa, stop. But there you go, Michael McDonald. I just made you $1,000 off of royalties just for saying.
That's what's so weird. Yeah. And so, you know, like your lights, I could have... explain that, like her fire alarm. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe it is that she listens to the show and then gets haunted by it. I don't know.
It's just an interesting concept of the power that
when
we
have
hold.
Electricity. Mm-hmm. Weird shit could happen,
and it often does. And that's why we're going to go all non-electric suit. We're going to go straight up Little House on the Prairie. I'm going to insist my children start calling me Pa. And I'm going to get a giant wig and I'm going to start looking like Michael Landon did. And that's how we're going to roll. Eventually,
well, no, I'll just move into my murder she shed.
Yeah. Eventually we'll blow up the town. It'll be great. It'll be just like Little House on the Prairie. So there you go. Good times. The she shed is wonderful. I think we're just completely old school. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person and EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air and get all the bonus material. It's all there just waiting for you. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.